welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope that you had a great rest of the summer. It has been a few weeks since I updated the podcast. I was traveling several different places this summer, speaking at different locations, but this is being recorded today on September the 11th. Obviously, a very dark day in American history, and also a very dark day because of what happened yesterday in our country with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's a very difficult day to think about the place where our world sits ethically, morally, biblically, and we continue to pray for the Lord's return to come quickly. I'm going to begin a new series this Sunday morning in the Discover Young Adults Ministry here at Preston Crest, a series that's going to be entitled How to Ruin Your Life by Age 35. This summer, I was in Colorado Springs speaking at a church, and Suzanne, my wife, and I, we toured the Focus on the Family Institute corporate location there in Colorado Springs. I went through the bookstore, and a book caught my attention that is entitled How to Ruin Your Life by Age 30, written by Steve Ferrer. I picked up the book, fumbled through it, and decided to buy it, and later decided after reading the book, you know, this would be a great study for singles and young adults. I have changed the title of the series to How to Ruin Your Life by Age 35, but the book was originally entitled How to Ruin Your Life by Age 30. I take some of the ideas from the book and then turn them into my own with some biblical examples. But in this first episode, we're going to cover the first lesson of this series, How to Ruin Your Life by Age 35. The first way to do that is to overlook the law of cause and effect. If you think about American culture, what is our first rite of passage into adulthood? I think most people would say getting a driver's license. If you think about it, how can getting a driver's license shape the rest of your life? Well, several things could happen. You could get in an accident, get injured, and that could have permanent effects on your body. Or getting in an accident could create PTSD every time you ride in a car or every time you drive a car. That may keep some people from wanting to ever get their driver's license. Maybe you got your driver's license but didn't use good judgment. Maybe you were ticketed with a DWI that went on your record or other citations of some kind. Or maybe you got your driver's license, everything went well, and that built trust, it built respect, it built confidence in your ability to drive a car. It's interesting how one event can have different consequences or results for different people. In his book, Steve Ferrer made this statement. He said, in the first 20 years of your life, your parents or your guardian make the major decisions for you. From then on, you will be making the decisions. The quality of your decisions will determine the quality of your life. The ball is in your court. I think that's a very accurate statement. Causes have effects. Actions have reactions. Choices have consequences. That's the story of life. And so today in this episode, I want to talk about the law of cause and effect and people who overlook or ignore the importance of this law. usually find themselves in places where they don't want to be. So what are some Bible passages or stories that prove the law of cause and effect? One that immediately came to my mind is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. When Paul said, "Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." There's an obvious cause and effect in that passage. What you put into something is going to be what you get out of something. In an agrarian environment, Paul used an agrarian metaphor. What you put into the ground is going to raise whatever you put into the ground. You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow for wheat, you're not going to get cotton. And sometimes you can get more than what you originally sowed. Sometimes you can get less than what you originally sowed. But there's going to be a result from some type of action. I also thought about Judges chapter 21, verse 25, when the writer of that book tells us, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And the result of that was complete and utter moral chaos." The cause, or the effect of not having a king, was moral and utter chaos. But the cause of that moral and utter chaos was everyone doing what they saw fit. And unfortunately, that also describes the very position we find ourselves in today in America. But one thing I would like to point out, two different stories here in the Old Testament in this episode where we see a direct cause and effect. And I'm just going to read through the progression of these events straight out of the Bible. The first story is the story of David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapter 11. The very first verse says this: "In the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, but David remained in Jerusalem." David should have gone out with Joab and the men, and as the other kings were doing, but he did not go. What was the effect of that? We'll jump to verses 2 and 3. "One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a beautiful woman bathing." If David had been out at war where he should have been, he would have never seen Bathsheba bathing. But we keep going, verse 4. "Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her." I mean, he could have just seen Bathsheba bathing, but he didn't have to act on it. But because he acted on it, he brought her to his room, and because he brought her to his room, he slept with her. Verse 5, "The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, 'I'm pregnant.'" Verse 6, "David sent this word to Joab, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.'" If you know the story, David was composing a plan to cover up his mistake. "I've got this woman pregnant. I'll bring her husband home. He's been off at war. Maybe he will sleep with her. And when she realizes that the baby's coming, I can say to everyone, 'Well, Uriah came home. He conceived with his wife.'" It doesn't work that way. Uriah is a man of honor. He refuses to go in and have relations with his wife when his brothers are out in the battlefield fighting. So David tells Joab, 2 Samuel 11, verse 14, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and so he will die." It's exactly what happens. After the death of Uriah, verse 27 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, "David brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." David ends up committing adultery, lying to cover it up, arranging someone's murder, and then losing the child he conceived. All because of the decision, going back to verse 1, of not going off to fight war in the springtime when he should have been there. Cause and effect. Many effects more than David ever wanted to experience. The same thing happened to his son Solomon, in a different way, but in a similar form and fashion. Solomon is a very young man, young king. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, "The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Solomon makes a very wise choice, and it has a great effect. He says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." Well, God is very pleased with Solomon's choice. Because of that positive cause, there's a very positive effect. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, God says, "I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you. Moreover, I will give you what you haven't asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." Solomon's given the opportunity to ask for whatever he wants. He doesn't ask for what most people would ask for. He doesn't ask for wealth. He doesn't ask for fame. He asks for wisdom and discernment. And because he asked for wisdom and discernment, God gives him the things he didn't ask for that most people would ask for. So now he's the wisest, famous, or most famous, most wealthy king who's ever lived. But, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, King Solomon loved many foreign women. When God had told him not to have romantic relationships outside of the nation of Israel. What was the effect? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God." That sends Solomon into a downward cycle of oblivion. His life begins to fall apart. He has children who turn away from the Lord, who end up splitting the kingdom that he has been so successful in building and keeping together. And as an older man, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, "Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." It didn't start out that way. He made good decisions, and he was rewarded handsomely for those godly decisions. But then when he made poor decisions, his life began to fall apart. But he comes down to the end of his life, and he makes this statement, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The law of cause and effect. Causes have effects. Actions have reactions. Choices have consequences. That is the story of life. My friends, the decisions you make now affect your life tomorrow and generations to come. Thank you for spending some of your time today with me here at Road Talk. As always, keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.